Good morning. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 through 23. Matthew wrote his book, and he wrote a lot of and reflected a lot of prophecy within his book. And in these chapters, he certainly highlights the prophets of the Old Testament. This morning, listen for a word from the Lord. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child was with Mary, his mother. And they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up. Take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. And he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. This was to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. After being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. Would you please pray with me? Father God, let the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God. Shield me behind the cross so that your words speak to your people. Amen. It has been
a joyous start to the Advent season here at Trinity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Many continue to bask in the afterglow from last weekend's 150th anniversary celebration. It was a joy to witness and participate in a momentous occasion. And I don't know about you, but all week long, I carried Bishop Easterling's message in my heart. She challenged us to suit up to continue to run the race. Amen? Anybody go out and buy track suits? I'm just saying. Last week, our celebration and the bishop's message came at a point that was very meaningful to me. It came when I needed it most. I certainly call it a God thing last week. Many of you don't know this, but I came to our celebration last week with a heavy heart. Last Saturday, I learned that my Uncle Richard passed away. We have been praying for my Uncle Richard, and I am grateful for all of those prayers, as our family is grateful to this church for their prayers. Last week, I learned he died in his bed peacefully with his wife and his daughter by his side. My uncle lost his battle to pancreatic cancer, and my mother lost her only sibling. My heart was broken. I really wasn't in the mood to be celebratory. I know it's kind of hard to picture that. I mean, I'm here always bouncing off the walls and full of joy, but surely you can understand why I wasn't in the mood to celebrate last weekend. Heck, I struggled to put up the Christmas decorations at the house. And it's not just because of the passing of my uncle. Yes, that is one of the reasons, but there are many things that happened in this year that sometimes I wish it would just end. When is 2017 going to get here? But I could not let that keep me down. This is where our free will comes into play. I could not wallow and swallow in my grief. However, I came with the mindset last Sunday as I pulled into the parking lot, trying not to mess up my makeup from tear-stained eyes. I thought I'd put my shields up. Pulled into my parking space over here and looked in the mirror, made sure I didn't have raccoon eyes. And when I cry, it's very noticeable. I get a very bright nose. It's very red. I look like Rudolph. I'm an ugly crier. I put a lot of makeup on before I came in here on Sunday. I was covering up what I was feeling. I didn't want that to dampen the joy and the meaning of why we were here. You know, too often we put up our own shields. Amen? We fake a smile to show people we are fine, but we do not tell them how hard it was to suit up and get out of bed in the morning. There is a lot of pretending that goes on at Christmas time. We get together with family members, friends, coworkers, and the truth of the matter is you really don't want to be there with those people. You could really probably care less with all the things that you have been going through. So you pretend. There are even pretenders in church. It's not just at Christmas time, all year long. There are people who have shields up, and they think if you knew who the real person was, if you really knew what was going on, if they shared that with you, you would instantly reject them. You may be thinking to yourself, Pastor Jones, let me hear something. Your title of your sermon is Choose Joy. Why are you all depressed? Sometimes we find our joy through our lowest moments. Most of the time, I am a happy-go-lucky person. And that's because I have Christ. But friends, let's face it, we do not live in a happy-go-lucky world. We cannot all be bubbly and joyful 24/7. We have burdens. We have struggles. We have crosses to bear. We have shame. We have guilt. We can feel out of place. To pretend that everything is fine would be a lie. Just because it's Christmas time doesn't mean everybody is happy. But today we lit a candle for joy. And I don't know about you, but I'm totally confused. Joy, unhappiness, it doesn't make any sense. It's sort of like our scripture this morning in Matthew. This story seems out of place in the Christmas story. When it comes to the birth of Jesus, we like the angels. We like the images of the shepherds and the story of Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus being born in a manger. And, oh, the animals that are surrounding him. Oh, look at that cute lamb over there. Oh, the donkey's brain. How adorable. However, the story we hear this morning, told by Matthew, we have Herod. Herod, a vicious and paranoid man who went on a killing spree. A man who killed his own family because of his paranoia. A man who sent soldiers to kill all the boys in Bethlehem that were under the age of 2. He was threatened by a child. None of our nativity scenes will have a Herod. But in an odd way, Herod deserves a place in the Christmas story. And we need to make room for Herod in our Christmas thinking because he reminds us why Jesus came in the first place. Herod reminds us of the kind of world Jesus was born into, the kind of world that needs a Savior. Herod, for all of his ugliness, all of his evil, is important to our Christmas story. He represents some current events that we see today. He represents current events from the past. He represents the world wars. He represents the Holocaust, ethnic cleansings, racism, the genocide of Rwanda, the attack on the Twin Towers on 9/11, the actions of ISIS soldiers, Newtown, Columbine, Oklahoma City, Sandy Hook, Orlando, Ferguson, Baltimore. He represents more than that. We have to make room for Herod in our Christmas story, lest our story becomes something to ignore. It's not just the showy presentation. It's not something bubbly like the Polar Express. Rather, it's a story of God entering into a broken world, a world in need of a Savior. We cannot pretend that we are not broken. We cannot pretend that we don't need a Savior. Now, this is to say there is no reason to sing of the joy of this season unless the birth of the Messiah makes a difference in the real world, the real world of Herod's. The difficult that we have to come across in facing evil diseases like cancer, addictions, and people that are misbehaving or people just on a plain power trip. Herod is the dark side of the real world in which you and I live. And Herod keeps us from turning the Christmas story into a feel-good story of the year. Many of us have encountered Herods in our lives. And like Mary and Joseph, we're looking for a place to run for safety. We may feel like we are in bondage and fallen into despair because of our Herods. Perhaps we have fallen victim in the forms of alcohol or drug addictions. Maybe memories of foolish acts in the past. Or perhaps we suffer from the effects of an abusive situation that just won't release its hold. Our bondage may take the form of depression that keeps us in an imprisonment. For many, the bondage may be trapped by circumstances of life, politics, economic hardships, poor housing. The list goes on. We will make room for Herod, but we are not powerless. We are not victims of Herod's encounter. Rather, we are given strength from this encounterment. We are given the strength and the spiritual oomph to stand toe-to-toe against the Herods. We are able to do this because of the very meaning of Christmas. Emmanuel. God is with us. It took lots of courage for Mary and Joseph to go from place to place and run from Herod's creed. Mary and Joseph were refugees and lived through the pain and misery of it that it entailed. They trusted in the Lord. Whatever Herods you are pushing against today, whatever is coming against you, it's painful. It's a long, hard trek. But have faith in the Lord, like Mary and Joseph. They did not let their circumstances speak over their lives. They had great faith and a great God that was bigger than all of their problems. And we still serve that God today. Thanks be to God. As John Stroman notes, Advent allows us to follow the coming of Christ and the biblical theme of deliverance. To be delivered. There's a term all in itself. Do you want to be delivered? Do you want to experience joy? No, it's not easy. It can't happen just like that. We can't switch off our grief. It takes time. It took a lot of time to travel from one place to another. We need to make room for that journey. But friends, you have a choice. You have a choice. You can choose to hold on to bitterness like Herod did, or you can take the path of the wise men who chose to risk their lives to travel and worship a newborn king, to go to a strange land which wasn't easy to trod. But after that journey was made, they reaped the reward. Herod kept his distance from Jesus, but the wise men traveled the distance to experience the joy of Jesus Christ. Something happened last Sunday to me that I cannot explain, and for me, when I can't explain it, I call it a God thing. As I was powdering my nose and covering up my boo-hooing, last week when I came into these doors, something happened, and I choose to accept it. As this place filled with faces from Trinity's past and friends and family of Trinity's present, my heart was strangely mending. I could no longer wallow in my despair.
I was in the presence of pure joy, and I could recognize it. And that brought me joy. The joy of celebrating 150 years and counting with a congregation like you brings me such happiness. The fact that you allowed me to experience this joy with you, a congregation who took me under their wing merely 6 months ago. You filled me with joy, folks. I can't explain it. I felt strangely at peace as we worshiped together and praised our Almighty God. I did not have to worry. I chose to be surrounded by joy. And the joy I felt last week was not a showy presentation. I didn't think about my shields. It changed my outlook. It was affirmation that I was in an atmosphere of acceptance and warmth, and I discovered Christ again like I never thought possible, with a family who is still learning who I am, and I am still learning who you are. That was so cool. I'm still glowing from it. Now, I can't speak for every church, but I can tell you what I've learned about this church. This is a church where people can come to find acceptance regardless of who you are, what your past is, what color your skin is, or how far along you are in your growth of Christian ministry. If you feel like you have to wear a fake ear-to-ear smile or have to wear nice clothes to be accepted and loved in this church, you're fooling yourself. None of us here are here because we are great. We're here because of God's grace. And Trinity certainly is the essence of God's grace. People come here to experience God's grace. And he shows up. Amen? Amen. Trinity has persevered because of God's grace, and you provide joy. We can experience joy together, and I pray that you will choose to find the joy and experience the joy of Christ that can be found amongst your brothers and sisters in Christ. There are going to be Herods who will try to steal our joy, but don't let them. If we suit up, if we suit up to run the race, we'll go up, I can assure you. Nothing can hold us down if we choose joy. Now, I want to leave you with the words of Mother Teresa, who adapted these words from a Harvard University student. And she tells us how to stand against the Herods of our life. She says, "People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of being selfish and having ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and frank, people will cheat you. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building, someone can destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. Don't live life with your shields up. That's how we can stand against the Herods. Choose joy. Anyway, amen.